Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always, to be part of your day. And I'm excited about introducing you to Sean Stevenson. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Stevenson is a wonderful, has a wonderful inspirational story to tell you and me. It's a story about hope and faith and hard work and what combining those three things together can do, especially if you live in America. And she's going to talk to you and me about some things that we might take for granted. Sean Stevenson has a great story to tell, and her book is called Faith Versus Hope. Sean Stevenson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great to be here, and it's Faith Versus Faith.
Faith versus faith. What did I say? Faith.
Faith versus hope is good because you gotta, you know, believe in hope before you can have faith.
You know, I can't believe I said it wrong, and I'm looking at the book. It's Faith Versus Fate, ladies and gentlemen. I said it right the first time, the previous segment, but I probably messed it up the last time. I do that every once in a while. The Sean Stevenson story, ladies and gentlemen. Sean, I would just like for you to take a minute or so and tell the audience how this incredible journey began.
The incredible journey began, I'll go way back, because it really started with a little, you know, thought in my head as a kid growing up, coming to America. I know I was born in 69, so now all you guys know my age, and, you know.
remind us where you were born.
I was born in Guyana, South America.
Yep.
You know, to a young couple, my mom and dad, Jean and Patrick Harry, but my aunt, who, you know, was my mom's sister, left the country when I was about 9 months old, and somehow in my mind I knew all that stuff. They will tell me stories because I was the first, you know, child for both sides as a grandkid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I grew up, somehow it was always in me to come to America. It was about 6 or 7 years old, and this was just a dream that I had as a kid, and I went ahead as I grew old and I got me a passport 7 years before I even traveled. And that dream came through when I actually was going to be 23, September of 1993. And I stepped out, and it's amazing, but I came here with the clothes on my back and a dream, and I was just elated and excited to be here. I heard America had a lot of, you know, great things about it, especially that the roads are paved in gold and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, apparently they took that up before you got here.
Right.
Sean, now tell me about your education in Guyana.
I actually went to a very good school. I started out at school at 2. I mean, imagine that. 2 years old, I wanted to go to school, so I went to a little kindergarten, they call it. Then I actually ended up, you know, in very good elementary school and then high school. Then I went to a 2-year college because I didn't want to spend 4 years, only because I just wanted to get out of there. Somehow, if I just, you know, went through university for that long, I realized it would, like, mess up my chances. So I was going to school and working. I had a couple of jobs. My first one was at a library as a, you know, a young librarian. Mm-hmm. And after that, I, you know, went to college and did, like, sociology and industrial relations. And in that time, I was actually offered a job at a bank. So my last job before coming here, I ran an office.
Well, let me ask you this question. How was your growing up experience different from the average Guyanan?
It was really, you know what, I think I was sheltered a little bit, so to speak, with, you know, being the, you know, being like one of the first grandchilds, everybody wanted mm-hmm. to take care of you. But I think the responsibility on my shoulders was to be the example for the younger ones coming up. So mm-hmm. growing up really put me in a place of responsibility right away. And I had to learn to do things like around the house. You had to be responsible for cleaning
right.
up after
right.
yourself, you know, that type
right.
of stuff.
So you came to America in 93, and did you stay with your aunt?
Yeah, I stayed with my aunt, and she had a restaurant, so I had a job at a restaurant. I was actually, mm-hmm. I began to work the day I landed here, you know. It was going to be, I think, Labor Day in New York with the big Parkway festivities and all that great stuff. So I helped them cook for that event.
So you came to America looking for Streets of Gold, and you found a cooking job.
Oh yeah.
were you down a little bit about that, or were you just glad to be here?
Well, no, I was just really, you know what, it was my family's restaurant, and I was just really happy to help them because I did a lot of, you know, because I learned to cook as a young kid. My family grew up cooking and selling food, you know, that type of stuff back in my country. So I learned the things that were culturally, you know, native to us and what we cooked. And here, the restaurant is kind of an American cuisine / Caribbean cuisine. So I brought some of the things that they were longing for, and I began to make those things, and things really.
What were your thoughts and dreams in those days when you landed in '93? What did you think was going to happen to Sean Stevenson or Sean Harry at that time? What did you think was going to happen to you?
Well, you know what? I knew it was like, here I come. It was freedom and independence, and I know I could have achieved anything. Nothing was really, I know I would have to start somewhere, but it really didn't matter what I did. All I knew was I'd learned the culture, I learned things about the country and what I needed to do to advance, and I figure, regardless of where I begin, that's a step.
And so you eventually got, you had a visa to come to the United States, but it wasn't a work visa, was it?
No, it was not a work visa, so to speak. It wasn't. But what happened, given that my aunt, you know, family business, I was able to do that. And then I actually left and became a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually began, you know, I think I extended my visa and, you know, that type of stuff. And then began working on, if the book tells you about it, working on, you know, getting my residency and all that great stuff.
How old were you when you decided that you wanted to be the master of your own fate, that you wanted to have your own business, for example? Was that when you were still in Guyana, or was it after you came to the United States?
You know what? That was when I was still at home. It was something that I realized I couldn't work for someone all the days of my life. Somehow I knew I had to find, it had to be something bigger. But that didn't kind of crystallize until later. That crystallized for me maybe, I would say, 4 years or 5 years into me being here, when I got into corporate America and I got my first job with a bank. I walked off the street. I left my nanny job, you know, because I couldn't do that anymore. 2.5 years I've been there, and then I was, you know, eligible to work. Mm-hmm. And I just came out and saw an ad in the paper. I walked into the bank. I walked to the bank from where I lived, and they hired me off the spot. So,
well, obviously they saw an intelligent, promising employee in front of them, which I can see that. Stand by, Sean. We're going to talk with a little bit more with Sean Stevenson and hear more about her story that she tells in her book, Faith Versus Fate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Robert Cray bringing us back. Serious blues man. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do, including the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show, including podcasting if you like. And, of course, you can go back and listen to thousands of archives of past shows that we've done. If you find a Brain Trust member you like, go back and listen to some of the other things that they've said. And I think you'll learn a lot from them. And all of those archives are podcastable as well as streamable. And, of course, we've got thousands of articles as well, hundreds of Brain Trust members. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday, all there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get Small Business Answers Now. I hope you'll check that out, too, and use that to your advantage. Sean Stevenson is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Sean is from Guyana originally, came to the United States, immigrated to the United States, and has been on an incredible citizenship journey, entrepreneurial journey. She's written a book called Faith Versus Fate, the Sean Stevenson story. And we're talking about, I was just about to ask you, Sean, about why you didn't feel that you were able to follow your entrepreneurial dreams in Guyana. You said that you had the dream of being a business owner when you were in Guyana. Why didn't you think you could follow those dreams in that country?
You know what? Our country had a long history of totalitarianism, a dictatorship, and it's a lot of, like, upheavals in the political system. I mean, I grew up in the era of a man called Forbes Burnham, who actually ran our country for about 25 or so, 30 years, with no change in you know, who ran for office.
Mm-hmm.
And things as a kid, I remember, you know, things, what the prices were and all that, and as I grew older, I didn't see things get better. And I think what kind of hit my mind is, if I'm growing up and things are supposed to get better, because I remember the lines for food, and I right now today, if I go to a function, and there, it still affects me, and there's a line to join to go get your plate of food, I do not go into that line, because it reminds me of us having to go as kids, me, my mom, and my siblings, we had to be the ones getting a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, because that's all they give you, so we would go and become, you know, each of us would buy 1 pound, and then they begin to realize that the families were splitting up and getting more than a pound of what they should get. So,
and were you,
were
you concerned that if you built something of your own in Guyana, that it might actually be taken away from you?
Well, not a sense of taken away, but a struggle, the uphill task for all the bureaucracies and how you get through, you know, for those things to pass. Well,
corruption.
I would say this, my husband did do it, though, because I was able to come here and really send the funds back so he can start his own graphics company.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was in the arts business, there was like, he was one, and, you know, in America, that's a dime, you know, can find him a dime a dozen. But back home, he was like, you know, one in his field, and he wasn't a very lot of competition. So he was able to excel and bought a computer with the money I sent and opened an office. And that grew to almost, you know, $1 million business. We're, you know, in that terms, you know, Guyanese money. It was $1 million American, you know, that would have been different. But it was still an achievement back there where he ran that for about 8 years.
Well, these, and so the more you lived in the United States, the more you could feel the power of opportunity this year.
Yes, because you know what? It's about taking action. Yes, you can have faith. My faith was a strong thing for me growing up as a child, you know, believing that there is, you know, there's power within you. I want you to believe in a God. I, regardless, it's not about religion, because I grew up with, you know, a certain background, but that wasn't what it is, because I did a lot of, you know, reading it outside what I was taught, and then I learned to kind of dip inside myself and find that strength. And coming here, I really kind of, that really worked, because I began to work it. And as I worked that belief, it became faith, and then it became reality. And I see that happen over and over again from day one, starting out. And I would tell people, it's not a simple task, but don't give up on it. I mean, you got to go through some things to get somewhere.
Tell us about your business now.
My business, actually, I'm a... do a couple of different things as a woman. I always used to be, you know, kind of like, oh, what do I say that I do? But right now I've just formed what you call Mayanda Solutions. It's a nonprofit organization. And what it does is, the mission of Mayanda Solutions is to bring together businesses and professionals for community well-building with a gut-level attraction to another's ideas, values, and personal style and professionalism, so that it's not a normal networking event. I'm kind of gradually launching that. But in the meantime, I'm a risk consultant specialist for identity theft. And that's really huge in our country. It's really a big issue right now. It's really an epidemic. And it's a silent crime that nobody knows. But so what I do, I educate communities, I educate businesses. Right now, the laws were passed on FATCA that every business have to be compliant, you know, as it relates to federal law. And the compliance date is actually November of 2008, and nobody knows what those laws are because the document is so extensive.
Tell us about that.
It's what it is. The FATCA law that was passed back in 2003, it's an amendment to the HIPAA compliance. I don't know if people heard of HIPAA.
My audience knows. Yeah.
Exactly. The FATCA is the Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act.
Right.
The amendment was actually effective January, where everybody that collects personal information has to actually have a sense of security, a culture of security, and have training for their staff to handle those customer information.
Hold on to that thought, folks. This is an incredible story, from immigrant to cook to nanny to the director of Prepaid Legal Services Incorporated to having her own business in just a few years because she came to America. 29 After. Sean Stevenson and I will be right back.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. We're still visiting with Sean Stevenson. The book is Faith Versus Fate. It's her story, the Sean Stevenson story, and Harold Bascom is the guy who helped you with who wrote the book, right, Sean?
He's actually my biographer. He did a lot of the you know, the technical things, the creativity. You know, I did all the writing, but he kind of really moved it into, you know, make it movable.
He was your partner in the book. And tell us where the book's available. If you have a and also your website, please.
The book's available at Amazon.com. And you can just keyword, and it's going to be on Amazon. There's not a website. There's a MySpace page, which is MySpace that, you know, Fate Versus Fate. And you can, you know, see some things on there. Or my blog, which you can kind of click through and get to the blog as well.
Okay.
But,
and that's
really
Fate?
Available on Amazon. Fate Versus Fate.
Faith Versus Fate is the Sean Stevenson story. Sean, now, you told us earlier about your experience coming here with a visa. But it was a guest visa, not a work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And so you started to work, even though you really weren't supposed to be working, right?
Right.
So then, how did you transition quickly? Tell us how you transitioned from being really an undocumented worker to being legal.
What I did was, you got to read the book if you want to. You know, I tell you guys, you have to read it if you want to know the whole story. But I'll tell you quickly. I actually met a family friend about a year or so down the road and got married to an American citizen. He liked me. I was like, you know, I have a boyfriend home. I don't know how I'm going to do this. It was hard. I couldn't tell anybody. And, you know, and I was going to leave my, you know, my husband now. I wrote him a letter and said, go on with your life because I'm not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, what am I talking about, you know? Mm. But the story went on. But, yes, I did get married, and that marriage lasted. You know, and I think I got my documents, and then things weren't working out, and I tried and we tried and we tried. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
So what do you think about the – you know, one of the biggest controversial issues in the United States today is the fact that we've got maybe as many as 12 million illegal immigrants – from Mexico, from Guyana, probably from China, who knows where, lots of places, mostly from Mexico. What do you say to those people? What do you, based on your story, based on your experience, what do you say to those folks who are undocumented, who are illegal immigrants? What do you think they should do?
You know what? There has to be a process to kind of convert those people. I mean, if they're actually adding to society and not taken away from society, because I tell you this, I can only speak from my own experience. I did not go on any government plans. I never took welfare. I never, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. took a handout. I never, you know, do any of those things. And what I did was I began to pay taxes as soon as I, you know what I mean, was able to do that. So my
But you had some legal connection in those days to be able to do that. Somebody who just walks across the border, nobody knows they're here. They don't have the ability to plug in like that.
Right, they don't have the ability to plug in like that, and they're running around. So that's what I'm saying. It has to come from, you know, it's really above me what legislation could be in place for that.
But what do you think? What do you think we should do with the 12 million undocumented? Should we send them back and have them start over again? Should there be amnesty? Should we help these people become citizens?
You know what?
What do you think we should do?
There was amnesty before, and I think is it helping our economy? If we do a study on whether those people are helping the economy or hurting it, that's where the decision would be made. If they're just a burden on the economy, then I would say yes, they have to, like, you know, go back and return the right way. But if they're helping our economy in some way, then why can't we set into place some process that they can get the documents they need, because
right.
they're here because their country is not better off. They're here because America is what we know the light of the
right.
world to be. So we need to find, not put them all in a boat and say go home, but
Sean,
find ways to filter.
Let me stop. Well said. Let me stop you. I've got less than a minute. What do you want to say to natural-born Americans about their country? What do you think about America?
I think America was founded on hope and faith and founded on hard work. Think of our Constitution. Go back and read that document of what the founding fathers did, and let's get back to the basics. If we get back to the basics, all the stuff that's going on today would not happen. We have to run on God ideals and principles so we can all be a people that can save the rest of the world.
Right. And you think Americans can do that?
Yes, we can. I mean,
yeah.
it's been placed in our laps to do. It's our responsibility
yeah.
to do that. And we're a powerful country. Look at where we came from. Read the 5,000-year leap. And that will give a lot of stories on, what we can do as a people.
A challenge for us, ladies and gentlemen, from somebody who wasn't born here, but who moved here and sees what we should really be all about. Sean Stevenson, thank you for being here. Congratulations on your incredible journey, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Jim. Have an awesome day.
You too. The Sean Stevenson story, folks. Faith versus fate. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.